This is Chuy Nunez, and I'm the executive pastor at Lighthouse Church in Chula Vista, California. I want to start off by saying thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Wherever you are listening, our mission at Lighthouse is that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. We look forward to building community with you and doing life together. Now, here's today's message. We hope it is a blessing to your life.
Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I have the best pastors. Hey, buddy. Then turn to your other neighbor and say, no, I have the best pastors. Lighthouse, it is so good to see you all today. We're excited. We're excited to honor Pastor Sam and to honor the pastoral team that is here. It is a group of 25 of us. There's 25 pastors, and the vision falls, the burden. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the context of winning, the series that we've been talking about. But it is a blessing to serve. It's a blessing to be here with everybody. Next month, we'd like really like to invite everybody next month. Next month, we start our new sermon series. It is entitled The World of the Generous. It starts November 2nd here. You can learn what biblical generosity is and the blessing that that it entails and what it can bring to your lives, what it can bring to our lives. And we're going to get right into the Word of God. I'm excited to be able to share today. I firmly believe God has an awesome thing for us today to close off our winning sermon series. So there where you are, if you could bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, that we are winning here at Lighthouse. Thank you that in the biblical sense, Father, we can say firmly that we are winning here. We ask you that you continue to bless us today. Thank you for our pastors. Thank you for our lead pastors. Thank you for all the love, the labor, the efforts that Pastor Sam, Pastor Angie have put in over the last 26 years. We thank you, Father, for those blessings. I ask you that you use me today to bring the message, bring the word, to bring this home, Father. Any heart that's broken, that it be mended today. Any mind that's confused, that it be clarified today. Any anger that has taken root, that it be replaced with joy. And at the end of the day, Father, that we may lift up our hands together, that we may leave from this place filled, that we may know that there is one God and one God only. His name is Jesus, and we worship him and we welcome him into our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We all say amen, amen, amen. You may be seated, worshiping the name of the Lord. It is so good to see you all. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Pastor Chuy. I'm the executive pastor here. I'm here day in, day out with our team. We have a unique model here at Lighthouse. Our team is, so there's three of us. So it's myself, and we have two part-time. They're the most full-time part-time employees you will ever meet. Laura, Sister Laura, and Sister Caroline that do amazing, and just an army of volunteers that are here, and we recognize them for everything that has been happening. So we continue. Today is the last session, the last sermon series, the last on winning, and we've been talking about winning throughout the last month, throughout the last few weeks. And today I'm going to tie it in the way that we appreciate and love our lead pastors. And one of the verses that Pastor Sam has shared throughout this time is 1 Corinthians 15:57. This is an awesome verse because if we read it, and you can see it behind me, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is Pastor Appreciation Day. Absolutely. We're honoring our lead pastors. But I would be remiss, and I wouldn't be doing what Pastor Sam has taught us to do, that at the end of the day, everything we do here, everything we share, everything we're about, everything we portray, everything that we have come to be here at Lighthouse is to point people to Jesus Christ. Every program, every function, every interaction, every plan that we do, it points people towards Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here who can attest to what a life in Christ is? Is there anybody here who can show that joy? Maybe clap your hands, maybe lift your hands, because you're not who you were before. Yes, maybe you're still a work in progress, but you have Jesus walking by your side. There is a risen Savior that has you in the palm of his hand. There are blessings that come from walking with Jesus. And this is the blessing. See, but thanks be, and it starts with an attitude of gratitude. It starts with an attitude of gratitude. You will never win if you are not thankful. You will never win if you are not grateful. You will never win if you do not consider the things that Christ has given you and what he has done in your lives. Put the comparison game off to the side, but truly consider and remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. And this is what's awesome. He sells us the victory. He negotiates the victory. He determines and sees if I'm good enough for his victory. He looks at my record and sees, no, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if you're living a victorious life this morning, can you give the Lord praise? Can you give the Lord that worship that he solely deserves? And so the purpose of this series and what we talked about, what Pastor Sam has actually talked about in the last few weeks, one, is to establish that you were not created for defeat, but you were created, but you were born to win. Listen, Christian life is not a life of defeat. It is not a life of sorrow. It is not a life of, well, I hope I have enough. Christian life is a life of victory. Christian life is a life of joy. Christian life is a life of triumph. Christian life is a life of victory. And along with that is to believe that through Christ, again, we were destined to live a victorious life on earth on our way to eternal triumph. Again, that is the ultimate goal, to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a big thing that we do here, setting the vision that came from our lead pastors that, yes, we were born to win, and yes, you can have a victorious life here. But at the end of the day, our goal is to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven. 56 people made that decision a few weeks ago. 56 people baptized in the name of Jesus. That's 188 for this year. 300 if you add the previous year. Again, on our way to an eternal triumph. So a common question is, yes, I believe that. Maybe you haven't seen it yet. Maybe currently you're not feeling it. Okay, because there's a difference between joy and happiness. Okay, again, you can have some pretty tough times and still be joyful. Right? Things cannot be going well. You're not happy, but there's still a joy that, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on here, but I know that you are still by my side. No happiness, but there's still joy. There's still joy somewhere. How do we get that? What's a step, an active? I love Pastor Sam. He repeatedly tells us he believes faith and facts, right? Facts and faith. You build on these things. We're not just throwing stuff out there. It's not self-help books. It's not the latest theories that we're throwing out there and what sounds good at the moment. This is based on what the Word of God specifically tells us. And we're blessed here at Lighthouse that we are winning in a sense, and you can also be on this path to victory, and you can also be on this path to really have your steps ordered in a certain way. If you allow a shepherd to lead you to biblical winning, if you allow a shepherd to lead you to biblical winning, and that's what we're going to focus on today, on Pastor Appreciation Day, the impact and the blessing, and we're going to honor our leaders. Leadership guru John Maxwell, interesting story, he's really good friends with one of our pastors here. Oh, who? Ah, go to Next Steps, and you can find out who that is. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Remember when I enrolled in high school, I loved sports, and I thought I was going to be a football player. I was excited. I was ready. I was 5'7", 120 pounds, with rocks in my pocket, soaking wet after lunch. But I was going to make it because I had grit and heart. And the first few hits, whoo, this is not as fun as running. And at the end, I only played 1 year. And at the end, we had a very, very interesting coach. Stick around for second service. I'll tell you his name because we're on record right now. I don't want to be sued. But there was only, I don't know, maybe 40 of us, 50 of us on the team. Not too many, but we were there every single day. And at that time, rules were a little bit different. So you practice on Saturdays, and they didn't have the time limits that your high school students have now. So we practice all the time. The 90s kids can attest to that and before. And at the end, we had an award ceremony, and we're being honored. We get a little award, little, you know, whatever that they give afterwards. And he's looking at us, and he looked at he didn't know our names. He didn't know our names. We'd been with them for 3 months, And he knew maybe a few, but he didn't know our names, which is why we only won one game that year. Again, everything rises and falls on leadership. A more serious example, right? Maybe at work, you can attest to not having good leaders. Maybe certain areas, you can see what happens when things aren't clearly outlined and there's no clear vision. Because everybody loves those meetings to set up another meeting. Everybody loves those 4:45 p.m. emails. Oh, I need this before the end of the day. You leave at 5, and it's at least a 4.5-hour project. But when there's good leadership, when there's heartfelt leadership, when there's blessed leadership, when there's intentional leadership, when there's compassionate leadership, when there is leadership that sees you for who you are and builds up on those gifts, as we do at Growth Track, then it makes all the difference. Now, a key to winning, I'm going to read this, give you some context to this verse for a second. A key to winning, this context here, is you need to allow yourself to be shepherded. Okay? Again, the concept of sheep and being told what to do, and right there, it's not a very popular concept of, wait a minute, I'm not a sheep. Okay, but the biblical context of shepherding, if I can set that up and set it up for you, this is found in the book of Ephesians. So this is the Apostle Paul. Now, Ephesians is an interesting letter. The Apostle Paul, who established most of the churches in the area, in the time, and spread the gospel like nobody else did before him, he finds himself on these missionary journeys. So he was going all about what was called Asia Minor at the day. So like the Middle East, up to Turkey, a lot of these different places, what was the Roman Empire in those places. And as he's going back to Jerusalem, okay, where was the center of the faith, as he's going back, he established a church in a place called Ephesus. And he ends up going back there, and he's there for 3 years. So he was really close, a lot of affinity in that church. He ends up being thrown in prison. Because again, he's preaching this thing that the empire, right, that the Roman empire, the Roman emperor, that the Caesars, they're not the top deities. They're not the top gods. They're not going to be. He's preaching this gospel that's really scaring these people. So he's thrown in jail. And while he's in Rome, he writes this letter to the church in Ephesus, to the Ephesians. And this letter, it's purely encouragement. It's purely encouragement. He doesn't have any, he's not calling them out for anything. He's not saying, he's pretty much laying certain things out. And one of those themes that he's laying out is church unity, of how the church functions and what works best and what God has done to build up the church. Because even then, the church was the hope of the world. Hey, Lighthouse, this is a brief commercial. We still remain the hope of our community. We still remain that light in darkness. Our connect groups at home, what the Yees and everybody else is doing, remain the hope of our community. What we do outside of these four walls still remain the hope for those who need Christ and have empty lives. And so he writes this, the Apostle Paul writes this in Ephesians 4. He says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors. Okay, so specific gifts that he set up, and this is in the Amplified Version, to shepherd and guide and instruct. To shepherd, to guide, and to instruct, and also teachers. Their responsibility, okay, is to equip God's people to do this work and build up the church, which is the body of Christ. A good pastor, a great pastor like the ones that we have, a great pastoral family like we have, equips and develops the church to win in the biblical sense. We are able to do what we do because of what the Lord has been able to place in our pastors, who then are able to set the vision so that we can enjoy the blessings that we find here in this place. Now, I've only been at Lighthouse 3 years. I mean, I've been connected with Lighthouse quite some time. But I've only been part here with my family for 3 years. And I'm told that when Lighthouse started 26 years ago, November 16th is the 26th anniversary, so coming up next month, I'm told there was 85 people who went out in faith. Chula Vista Hills Elementary, the first service, about 80, 85 people. A few Sundays ago, we had 1,345 people here. 1,345 worshiping the name of Jesus. Listen, we don't hand out gold badges and we don't hand out certificates and we don't, whoa, look at our numbers. Look at, we're excited because that means 1,345 people were listening about Christ, were hearing about a Savior that loves them. That's what it's about. You don't see numbers anywhere else. We are excited because of what the Lord has been able to do and what He continues to do. And as I proceed through this message, we'll see how the Lord has blessed us through a pastor, through lead pastors who equip and develop us to win. Now, this is a huge weight, okay? And again, this is a huge weight because if you read the Word and if you see certain things in the Word of God of how pastors are referred to, there it's important to understand the context of this weight that's involved. Now, if in the book of Revelation, there's letters written to seven churches, okay? And each letter, you can read this throughout. It's the first few chapters of Revelation. And this is just the first three that are mentioned. But the message that is given to John, the first one, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Okay, that's interesting. Then the second says a certain message, certain thing. This is what you do. This is what's going on, so on. And then in verse 8, write this letter to the angel of the church of Smyrna. Okay, that's a little bit more. Then the third one, the same thing, write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. And it says that the next four, to the angel, to the angel, to the angel. So now, looking at that, is it talking about what we think it is? Allow me to break it down. The Greek word used for angel is angelos, okay, angelos. This is the word that's used for John the Baptist in Matthew 11:10. Okay, so it's not a word that's used for a heavenly being, right? It's not the context here, okay, the context. It's not for something supernatural, right? And again, the idea there, looking at that, it's, wow, was an actual angel pastoring the church? Can you imagine if an actual angel pastored the church? Right, like you're in the club just, and the angel pops up on the bar. Dude, come on. Oh, you know, you're struggling somewhere. Angel pops up next to you. I got this. That's not, again, supernatural times, but they weren't supernatural people. The idea there for the Bible to specifically refer to the person that leads the church as the angel of the church, as the person who over. Now, listen carefully, right? This has been misused a lot. And again, full disclosure, right? We, the pastoral team, the admin team, we forced Pastor Sam and Pastor Angie to have this day. And I love messing with him. I say, Pastor Sam, where would you like the orchestra and the marching elephants? And he just nods and walks away and grins. But we force him to do this. Because in his mind, and he will specifically tell you, this is our ministry. This is what we do. We do this because we love him. We do this because it's important for us to set who we are and how much he means for us and what he means to us. But again, on that same vein, anytime angels appear in the Bible and men tried to worship them and bow down, they would stop. They would say, no, hold on. No. That's not. Worship only goes to one. Worship only goes to one. Again, we're not worshiping our pastors here. We're honoring them. We honor them for the blessings. We honor them for what they've done. We honor them for what they continue to do here to guide our church. Now, as we continue along, okay, so the importance of being shepherded. Okay, Jeremiah 3:14 through 15. I love this first part. Return home. Okay, return home. Return home. Listen, this is to those of you that are giving church a try here, to those of you that have maybe negative experiences in other places of worship. To those of you who just thought, you know what, you were done with church but not done with God. To those of you that for whatever reason, fill in the blank, have a little bit of holdups, and somebody told you with just the brightest smile, hey, check out Lighthouse. You maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member who wholeheartedly told you once, twice, 57,892 times, check out Lighthouse and that smile, and they would not stop. Well, let me be the first to tell you, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home, friend. Welcome home. Listen, this is a judgment-free zone. That's not accountability. Judgment and accountability, that's a different thing. But it's a judgment-free zone. This is a judgment-free zone. We care about you. We care about your family. We care about your heart. We care about how we can move the needle here together. We care about how we can advance community here together. We care about how we can be the Lord's hands and feet here. Welcome home. Lighthouse, can we give our guests a welcome again? I know Pastor Phil did that earlier, but a big thing of what we do and the vision that was set by our pastors is to welcome those who are far from God so they can find their purpose here in the church.
If this message was a blessing to your life, I encourage you to share it with others. I invite you to visit us online at gotolighthouse.org to stay connected and see how you can continue supporting today's message. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.